Morning, everyone. Please be seated. Lovely to be with you this morning. And I think you've had the same weather down here that we've had up in Northland. We've just came back a couple of days ago, ran out of space to put the fish in the fridge, so we had to bring some home, you know, and put a cross on the sand up there to say in 10 days' time we'll go back and follow up and get some more. But the weather's been great. It's been a wonderful time, and I trust that you've had a great Christmas and a new year, and you know, look forward to what God has for us. Yeah. On Christmas Day, my parents built a batch years ago, and they've since gone to be with the Lord, but they left it to my two sisters and I, and so we try to get up there, and our kids and grandkids, etc., as much as they can, and it's getting a bit more difficult for some of them because they, you know, their work situation is not as consistent as it was. But we had about 15, 16 for Christmas Day, and we sat around and had a communion service late in the morning, and we went around the room and just sort of said, what's happened in your life in the last 12 months? Highlight. We want highlights, not downers, but we want highlights of positive things that have happened in your life. And so they all began to share. And one of the things that came out, obviously, in the course of their discussions was that they've had that switched off to voices speaking to them from all kinds of places, you know, and people are getting this and that and all sorts of stuff. And they kind of felt like, we just want to get away and enjoy God. That was kind of a theme that came through. And I said to them, well, my desire in the last few weeks and months has been, I too want to hear God's voice and have a fresh encounter with Him. And I believe when I have an encounter with Him, then kind of everything else can be blowing gales and all the rest of it, but he's just a solid rock. And, you know, and people start, why aren't you concerned? And aren't you upset? And you're losing this and you've got that. And, you know, you're kind of like, no, I've got the Lord, and He's in here, and He's given me an assurance. He's never will leave me nor forsake me. And so this morning I want to talk about the difference between experience and encounter. And that we look at a couple of characters and then share some insights, and just in the last couple of weeks the Lord's given us to something that's just burning in my heart, that this is a year that I can expect, and I trust it'll be for you too, I can expect a fresh encounter with the Lord. And it's not just a once-er. It's something that I can have on a regular basis with expectation. When I come to church, I'm expecting to sense the presence of God. I'm expecting that I'm going to go from this place better than which I arrived. I'm going to be aware that He's saying something. And I've got a choice to make. Do I want to listen to it, apply it, or procrastinate and put it off for another time? So let's open the Word of God to Matthew 19. And we're going to look mainly at two particular guys, and then we'll work around that. It says in Matthew 19, verse 16, now a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied. There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Which ones? The man inquired. Jesus replied, do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. My kids aren't here today, but that's we've told them that one. And love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? And Jesus answered and said, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Father God, this morning we're gathered here. We've taken time out from enjoying this beautiful location that you've given us to enjoy. And we just want to hear your voice to our hearts. And so, Holy Spirit, we just open our hearts and say, have freedom. Have freedom in us. You know what's ahead. And Lord, we want to walk in your footsteps. We want to be holding your hand. We want to be in tune with you. And Lord, you are the answer. You have the answers. And so we say, Holy Spirit, help us to hear your voice today. And may you find in us a response that is well-pleasing to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I've looked at read about this rich young ruler many, many times, and I kind of thinking, how could he blow it? And yet, as we look at his life, we see he was really financially well off. He considered himself loyal to the commandments. He was a man of the word. Yet he was not entirely sure he was right with God. He had this niggling doubt. Something's missing. And then he hears about this holy man coming to town. His name's Jesus. And he called out to him and wanted to meet him and question him and possibly get assurance that, yes, I'm okay. God's well pleased with me. In Mark's gospel, it says when he came to Jesus, he actually knelt down in front of him and asked him those questions. And so from his question, it seems like this prominent, wealthy young man felt that eternal life could somehow be earned. He had a checklist. Yep, done that, done that, done that. Yep, you know. And it's almost like if I have checked off all the boxes and they seem to be, you know, the important ones, surely I'm okay with God. But there was no relationship. It was mechanical. Friends, because of our inherent sinful nature, it's really impossible for you and I to keep the commandments. I'm not a prophet, and I don't claim to be a prophet, but I'll guarantee you and I are going to blow it this year. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to put our big foot in it, you know, all those sort of little cliches. But we've got to remember that salvation comes by grace. Yes. It's free. It's free. We've lived in cultures and traveled to different cultures, and we've seen people try to somehow earn satisfaction or fulfillment that they're okay with the spiritual realm or the gods in which they worship. In the Philippines, it's coming up this Easter, there'll be people again who will allow themselves to be physically crucified on crosses to somehow say that I'm doing something that God is very pleased with. Yet when Jesus is hanging on the cross, he says, it's finished. We don't have to be crucified. But they don't know that. In the Himalayas, you see people around certain mountains where they're holy mountains and they've got some sort of superstitious traditions, and people will crawl over sharp rocks to somehow allow their bodies to be beaten and pummeled so that they again appease the spirits, but they don't know salvation is free. You don't have to beat yourself up. It's a wonderful gift that God has given us, the gift of grace. And this young man's wealth had become an idol in his life. And he had broken the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And his obeying most of the commandments turned out to be more legalistic, ritualistic, rather than having a close relationship with God. Friends, he was having an experience, but he wasn't having an encounter. Wow. He had a face-to-face with Jesus. I think Jesus stopped and talked to him. He had a face-to-face with the Son of God. And he walked away, unchanged, saddened, remorseful. But he wasn't willing to obey. He wasn't willing to trust. He wasn't willing to pay the price. Jesus in Mark's gospel challenges him, say, take up your cross and follow me. And it will cost us something to follow Christ. Even well-meaning people, loved ones, etc., will find criticism in us, and that, you know, see, you've blown it again, or you made a mistake. How can you say you're a Christian? And, you know, this, that. You know, there's a cross involved in our service of the Lord. And people will always look to find fault. And there's many like this young man. There's many like him that are coming on a regular basis. Even some of us, we could easily say, I fit into that kind of box. It's a long time since I had an encounter with the Lord. It's a long time since I felt his pleasure. It's a long time since I felt his presence. And friends, I believe this is a year that you and I can expect to have fresh encounters with the living God. He above all voices wants to be heard. He above all people, all gods in the sense, will make himself known. And so you and I have got to make a choice. We've got to press in. We've got to say, yeah, I'm doing all these things, but still there's something missing. And that something missing is finding that happy place where we can be alone with him. Yeah. We sent some photos, fishing photos, over to my friend in Australia, pastor friend. He and we were all got saved around about the same time, young adults back in the day, a few years ago. And so he's over there pastoring in Queensland, and I sent him photos, and he's been to where we've been for a holiday, and he came back and he says, it's great to see you in your happy place, because it's a place I can just get alone with God. It's a place where we don't get it in the cities. You just step outside at night and you look up at the stars. Oh, to be a farmer, to be a country boy, and to look up and enjoy the magnificence. And how could you not worship the one who put all that together? We've got to find a place where we stir ourselves to action. We stir ourselves and say, Lord, there's got to be more. There's got to be more, and I want more. I'm not satisfied with my present day walk. I love the Lord. I read the word. I pray. I give. I fast. I do those things, but there's more. There's a desire in your heart to say, there's still more. And we'll never get to a place, even in heaven, friends. We wonder, you know, will we get bored after a week? No way. Is God just continually revealing more and more of himself? He'll never run out. And so we've got to come to this place and say, what voice do I want to listen to this year? And it's the voice of the Holy Spirit. And it's a voice that maybe wants to say things to us. He wants to put his finger on things in our lives. He wants to say, come on, let that go. Let that go. It's hindering you. It's stopping you. If you put that in my hand, you can trust me. And I will bless you. And I will show you another way. And then we come to our second character. His name's Zacchaeus. In Luke 19, 1 to 10, it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. The Jews didn't stick around in Jericho. It was not their town. And so he was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector. So he wasn't just a tax collector. He was one of the top guys. He's a Jew, but he's working for the Romans as a tax collector, and he was wealthy. And he wanted to see Jesus, who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Verse 5, then when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay him back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Chief tax collector, very wealthy, unpopular, a thief, a scallywag. And whenever he went out during the day, I imagine he got really hostile glares from people. He's not coming to dinner. He's not on our invitation list. His name means, Zacchaeus, the name Zacchaeus means pure and honorable. So if any of you are thinking of having children this year and you're wondering what name to call your son, Zacchaeus is not bad. Pure, honorable. Yet his corruption saw him as a social and religious outcast. He wasn't even allowed to go into the synagogue. He was rich and yet not satisfied. There's this void within him. There's got to be something more. And so he wanted to see this Jesus, thinking maybe the answer lies in seeing him. You know, in all of us, there's a void. God designed us to worship him. And unless we exercise that worship the way God intended, then that void is going to always be there. You can be blessed so much. You can be blessed to overwhelming blessing. And still, you can sit down and count it every day and identify what you have, but there's this void within that only God can fill. And some of us, we go worshiping other things. Some of us try to fill that void with other things that will somehow, we hope, fill the gap. Wasn't it the Beatles sang a song, "Can't Buy Me Love," you know? And you know, we can't buy satisfaction to fill that void. And so Zacchaeus, he had everything. He didn't have many friends, but he had everything else. And from the sycamore tree, he not only sees the Lord, but he encounters him. He had his conscience awakened by meeting face to face with Jesus. His heart is softened. He's resolved to use his estate for God's purposes. And it's great when people understand why blessing has come upon them. It is for the kingdom of God. God wants to bless us. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, it is he who causes us to gain wealth. And we think it's us, me, my skills, my talents, my abilities, you know. But it is God who causes us and gives us the ability to make wealth. And so Zacchaeus, this rich man, suddenly, without even being preached at, isn't it wonderful, the work of the Holy Spirit? He just kind of awakens us like, "Hey, Lord, I want to bless the ministry. I want to do right by others." And it says he goes a long way even further beyond the laws of restitution. And he says, "I'll give back fourfold restitution of what I've taken from people wrongly." That's a work of the Holy Spirit. That's carpet time kind of ministry. You know, you kind of get up and you've got a list saying, "I've got to go home and put some stuff right." And if you're really hungry for an encounter with God this year, friends, you might have to do some carpet time. You might need to go and find your happy place as well, where you can just get lost in God and say, "Lord, everything is meaningless unless you're in the center of it. Unless it's all about you." That was genuine repentance, what took place with Zacchaeus, where the rich young ruler, every box seemed to be ticked except one more, the last one. He had another God beside God himself. Interestingly about Zacchaeus, in the writings of Clement from Alexandria in the early church, one of the early church fathers, he says of Zacchaeus that he became a very prominent Christian leader and a pastor of the church in Caesarea. So he had a major turnaround, didn't he? I mean, a makeover. Absolutely. In John 15, 4 and 5, Jesus uses the illustration of the branches and the vine and sort of saying, you know, guys, you know, it's an obvious nature lesson, but, you know, we've done some pruning at home lately, and you can see that when you cut off branches and stuff, you know, within days they wither. And Jesus is trying to get across to them to sort of say, if you want to be fruitful in this life, and we've only got this little window of opportunity called life, and if we don't use it well, what fruit of eternal wealth and value do we take into eternity with us? We won't lose our salvation necessarily by just living our own life and giving God the leftovers, but the point is he doesn't want the leftovers. He wants the heart. And if he's got the heart, he's got everything. And he's trying to say, you need to be grafted into me. Grafted means, you know, they tie it up and then they graft in and then tie the thing up in such a way that the branch is very dependent on the vine. I love the story in Luke 24. Again, won't read it for the sake of time, but the two guys had been at the crucifixion and they're on their way, the road to Emmaus, and you know, they're kind of bewildered and confused and sort of saying, what happened? You know, a few days ago we're just enjoying his teaching and his presence, and now we see him on a cross and he's been killed and crucified, and what happened? And then, hey, I've heard rumors that he's not dead, he's alive, but we haven't seen him, you know. And so here they are. Imagine the conversation, you know, what do you know, what do I know, sort of thing. And then Jesus accompanies them, suddenly he appears, and that's what he's good at, just turning up. And he starts walking with them, but they didn't recognize him. And they chat away and talk about things, but there's this dullness of spiritual dullness that has come upon them. They're confused because of all the chaos that's been going on around them. And then they stop for something to eat, and it says that he blessed the meal, and suddenly their eyes are opened. And then he disappears again. You know, you just can't hold on to him. He's there. But they made this statement, verse 32 of Luke 24, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Friends, I'm expecting God to burn my heart this year. I'm expecting to have burning heart experiences where his presence and his sense of my sense of well-being in his presence, and then the word of God, things I've read 1,000 times suddenly are going to open up. Yeah. Things I've read and I've enjoyed, but they're going to be revealed again in ways that I've not seen before. You see, personal encounters with God, they're vital if you and I are to be effective for him. And I encourage us, don't come to church for an experience. Come to church for an encounter. When we get up in the morning, I don't know if you're a night person or a morning person. I'm a morning person. I like getting up and I like walking around my living room and and just having prayer time, praise time. Mary likes sitting up in bed with all the pillows around her and being comfortable and putting on music. And she has a great time. I have a great time. I pull the curtain so no one can see, but I just want to worship God. Occasionally, I'll pick up a chair and walk around the room and say, Lord, this is your seat. Come and be enthroned in my praises, Lord. I want to stimulate myself to expect something more than just having a good old 15-minute, 20-minute clappy time. We want to hear God's voice. We want a new prophecy for this year, possibly. But what did we do to the last ones? Have we acted on the last ones? God has spoken. God has said things. God has prodded us. But what do we do with these things? So like God is saying, I've already spoken. If you just quieten your heart, you'll find that already you'll know my word and my will. Go for a walk. Get lost in the bush, but have a GPS or something so they can find you. Just find a happy place, whatever it may be, wherever it may be. Find a happy place every so often and just get alone with God. Expect an encounter with the living God. There's so many promises in the Word of God saying, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. In James 4, if you will seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. God is saying, I'm a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. He's a rewarder. He's not handing out candies. He's a rewarder. He wants to bless our home. He wants to bless our family. And friends, you and I are selling ourselves short because we're keeping one box unchecked. Just holding something back in case he doesn't come through. Can I trust him? Can I trust him? Well, you can. And he is faithful. When we make time to encounter the Lord, he will open our eyes, he will open our ears, and he'll open our hearts to a whole different realm of living and thinking. The favor of God is upon us. His favor will increase upon us as we press into him. People will kind of wonder, wow, how do you know this stuff? Because we encounter the living God. And I want him to open my eyes again. Open my ears again. And soften my heart. That I don't allow this world to divide it. But it's his wholeheartedly I'll give it to him. Would you stand with me, please? I was reading somewhere recently where the English church had to be reconstituted, reinvented, or something like that. And the question was, what is the chief end of man? What is the chief end of man? What's the purpose of man? And they came to this conclusion. This is written in their so-called constitution. To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's our mission in life, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. If God's speaking to you, if you've got that burning desire within, just say, Lord, 2022, I want to encounter you. I want to experience your presence in a powerful way, in such a way, if you put your finger on things in my life, I'm willing to let them go. I'm willing to hear your voice and adjust my life accordingly. But Lord, I want to encounter the living God. If that's your heart, would you just lift your hands and I want to pray for you. And just remember, the angels are taking notes right now. They know your address. They know your phone number. And they'll remind us. Father, we stand with you before you today with our hands lifted up and saying, dear God, this is the year to encounter you afresh. You're putting it in our hearts. Our hearts burn to know you more. And Lord, help us to find our happy place, the place where we can just be alone with you, to be still, and just to quieten our hearts and to hear your voice. Lord, we want to grow in our intimacy. We want to grow in our love. And Lord, we want to walk with you. And we want to enjoy you, and we pray you will enjoy us. So we lift our hands and say, here we are, Lord. 2022 is a year where we're going to encounter the living God. In Jesus' name I pray.